I'd like to read with you from Luke 14. Luke 14. Luke 14 and at verse number 15. Luke 14, verse number 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these sayings, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. That's a simple word for invited. He bade many. And sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. If you remember nothing else from the reading tonight, I want you to remember those words there, those six, seven words, come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Remember those 5 words. And yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. We pray that God will bless to us that portion of his holy word. I want you to understand tonight that there's a great supper. It's all provided. We might call it the gospel supper. Good news from God to all of mankind, men, women, boys and girls, without any age distinction, without any race distinction, without any gender distinction. God has a great supper prepared, and is prepared for all mankind, without any exception. The gospel's for you. The gospel's for you. The gospel's for everyone. So don't feel left out, because you're not. There's a great supper provided. We read in our account from Luke 14, it's only Luke that records that parable, that a certain man made a great supper. Why is it great? I just told you why. It's great because of the number of people that are invited to it. That's the reason number one. Reason number two, it's great, it comes from the God of heaven. There's none greater than him. And yet you have to account to him for what you've done with it. So it's great for those reasons. I could tell you a whole lot of more reasons, but I will just leave it at those two. Great because it comes from the God of heaven, and great as to the number of people that are invited to it. No one's excluded. Now the servant, a picture of the Holy Spirit, when the time of the supper is ready, he is sent out. From the day of Pentecost until now, the gracious Holy Spirit of God has been the only one that has ever brought any single soul to the Lord Jesus. However much we preach our hearts out, and Aaron said to us, I think every time he's preached, that we preach with passion, and we do. It means something to us. But you see, however hard we preach, it's not in our words. It's God who does it by his gracious Holy Spirit. But what we are compelled to do is to preach the word.
And that's what we do night in, night out throughout this series. So the servant is sent out. And he's sent out with a task to bring in all those that have had invitations. When we bought this venue, I tell you what, the Cosa Hotel was just there, and there's plenty of staff in there, but you try and get to speak to anyone, it's a nightmare. So Matthew wasn't able to do it, so he left me the task, and I tell you what, it was still a nightmare. To try and speak to anyone in this establishment was absolutely impossible. But anyway, they asked, how many do you want to sit in this hall? I said, I've got no idea. I said, put out about 50 chairs. I said, how many will the room take? Oh, they said about 150. I said, well, if we need them, we'll use them. How many have come? Mm-hmm. 6,000 invitations went out into this locality. If only 10% of them had come, that would have been something to fill the chairs, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. But you see, the thing is this, the Spirit of God has been sent out into the world to bring them in and to bring conviction of sin, to show men and women and boys and girls that before a holy, righteous God of heaven, they've come short and they've missed the mark. And as Aaron's been telling us tonight, they stand condemned in the presence of God, guilty. So the Spirit of God is sent into the world to bring folk in. Now, what does it tell us in our story? It tells us that they all, those that have been invited, so the invitation had gone out to a great company, to all those that have been invited, what does it tell us they did? They all, notice that, they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. But you said, if I followed the reading carefully, and I was trying to, there was only three excuses, so that means there was only three that were invited. No. This is just a representative portion. This was like a summary of the main reasons why people weren't coming to the supper. And you know, there's a whole host of reasons why people tell you that they can't come to Christ. I want you to notice the very last word that we read in our story tonight. That none of those that were bidden and refused the invitation, says the Lord Jesus, they shall not taste of my supper. To put it like this, as simple as I can, if you refuse the invitation of the gospel, you'll never, ever, ever see heaven. It's a closed door if you refuse the way in, and the Lord Jesus is the only way. So what are these three excuses? The first said, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. It's a lame excuse, isn't it? But you know, if we think about land, it's that which is possession. Possessions. Do you know our Lord Jesus said in Luke 10 that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth? You know, we came into this world with nothing. And there's one thing that the Bible says is very clear to us, is that we came in with nothing and we're going to go out with nothing. And therefore, having food and raiment, says the word of God, let us be content with those things. If only we could. If only Christians could too. Our possessions, our worldly material things, keeping you out of God's heaven and that great eternity that can be spent with God in heaven. Is there a comparison? Is there? A plot of land and the glories and the splendours of God's heaven. Tell you what, don't keep a little parcel of land and worldly material things from receiving the great invitation from God. So there's materialism. What's excuse number two? I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. Well, that was a bit of a lame excuse too. If he got anything about him, he would have checked the animals out before he bought them. So you see that the excuse is just pitiful. But if the first one, the land, was materialism and possessions, then let me suggest to you that the five yoke of oxen are business interests. How many are working their fingers to the bone to get rich? The Proverbs tell us that riches profit not in the day of wrath. You know, if you've got all the riches in this whole world, it will never get you into God's heaven. What shall it profit a man, says the Lord Jesus? What shall it profit a man, a woman, if they should gain the whole world and lose their own souls? Wait up now. Excuse number three. I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come.
Oh dear.
Here are family ties. Family ties. Let me tell you this very kindly tonight. Don't let a husband, don't let a wife, don't let a parent, don't let a child, don't let anyone stop you from coming to Christ. Some will tell you this if they've got deceased relatives who never trusted Christ. They will tell you this. If they've gone to hell, that's where I want to go. Do you know what I would tell them? That's not true. There's a man who is burning in the torments of hell, and it was mentioned in one of the addresses in the gospel. In Luke 16, there was a man who was burning in the flames of hell, and he pleaded that somebody should be sent to his father's house to tell them not to come to this place of torment. It's real. Possessions, business interests, family ties. Don't let anything stop you from coming to Christ. They didn't come. God is going to have his house filled. Tonight, there is room. And the invitation goes out like it did from this master of the house. Come, for all things are now ready. Yes, they made excuses. But the invitation is going out still. Come, for all things are now ready. If you've ever put on a meal, I wonder whether you've ever said to folk, it's going to be ready at 7:30. And you've got all the devices set, all the timers, so that everything is at perfection at 7:30. And you look at your watch, and they're still not here. And you're saying to yourself, and you're saying to the other half in the kitchen, those potatoes are going to be burnt. Those vegetables are going to be burnt to sludge. And you look again, and they're still not here. What's the point? There's a point, you know, when things are ready. And there's a point that are of no use. Today, the gospel supper is still ready. Can't boast you 9 o'clock tonight. Can't promise you 9 o'clock tonight. I can promise you now, the supper is ready. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, says Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God's going to fill his heaven. So what does he do? He sends out the servant again. Go out, he says. Go out. I want my house filled. Go out into the streets and the lanes of the city and compel them to come in. Notice the urgency about it. Compel them to come in. We've come to the streets and the lanes of the city, to the town of Kozel and Waterorton, a millionaire's paradise in Shustoke.
will not come in. We compel them to come in.
And the report goes back to the master from the servant. I've done as you've said. There's still room. Look at the seats. There's still room. What next? Give up?
No. There's a determination in the heart of the master.
Well, you've been to the local area. You've been to those that were first invited. And you've been a little further around into the streets and the lanes of the city. Well, go out further still. Go out to the highways and the hedges.
Bring them in. Bring them in, that my house may be filled. Have you got it now? Have you got it? There's an urgency about the message. And it's this. Come, for all things are now ready.
Come. Come to the Saviour. Come to the Saviour. There's only one, the Lord Jesus. We've thought about the cross. Every night we'll get to the cross. If we don't, you fire the preacher. You tell him never to come back again. If we miss the cross, we've missed everything. There at the cross, the Lord Jesus died to make eternal salvation in the reach of every single man, woman, boy and girl. None are excluded. The work of Christ covers every single sinner's sin. At the cross, the Saviour, before he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit, he cried these words, "It is finished." That means there's nothing for you to do. I sometimes say, you know, if I hung a piece of Van Gogh's art on the wall and I asked you to look at it with me and I just brought my little paint palette, not that I can paint at all, if I just said, I think you need a little bit here and a little bit here, and that doesn't look quite right there, and if you were still here sitting in the company, what would he say? It's finished, sir. I've done it. I've signed it. Nothing more to be done. Don't you think you can improve it? Don't think you can scratch a bit away? It's done. There is the finished piece of work. So it is with the message of salvation. The work is done. You say, how do I know it's done? Because the one that died at the cross, and he truly died because a spear was pierced in his side and his blood and water came out. He was laid in a tomb. You only put dead people in tombs. The stone was rolled across the front. And on the third day when they went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. And the folk that went into the tomb, they heard these words of the angels that sat one at the head and one at the foot where the body of the Lord Jesus had been. Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Tonight he's in heaven.
Amen.
That's why there's power in the gospel. There's a living Saviour. And he's waiting and he's longing for you to come. Come. For all things are now ready. Tonight we can say those other words too. Yet there is room. One day, the very last soul will be gathered in. And the door will be closed. And the gospel day will have run its course. Then those words will not be heard, come, for all things are now ready. If you should try and come then, you'll hear these words from the Saviour. Depart from me. I don't know you. Tonight we can tell you in God's name, yet there is room. In that day, you'll hear the words, my house is full. There's no more room. May it be tonight, if you've never come, as you'll come to the Saviour, even tonight shall be.